Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. It is our longest Colin right, Colin wrong segment so far of the year. It is great to have you back. I feel great. I went skiing this weekend. My voice is still a little raspy. I don't know what's going on in my life. I feel like, I should maybe go into acting. With the Oscars last night, I feel like, what's going on here? I feel raspy.
My voice is also a little bit raspy as well. Yes.
I think it's mountains to Miami, back to mountains.
I think for different reasons, yes. But I'm glad you had a great time in Utah. The Oscars were great last night.
Yes. By the way, my favorite line ever, Jeff Bezos is so rich, he got divorced, and he's still the richest man in the world. That's how rich he is.
Yeah.
Chris Rock, as usual, was hysterical. So, folks, when I do this show for a living, I could just talk about what happened yesterday. It'd be a very safe show. Be a very easy show. Here's what happened yesterday. Let me give you some context. And I do that. But I also think it's my responsibility to throw out some theories, what I think could happen. And I think those make the show more interesting. And I take it on as a responsibility. This is what I do all day. I talk and think about sports. You have jobs. This whole Dallas Cowboy Tom Brady thing, I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. But do not blow it off. Don't blow it off. Let me give you a rule in life. I know as a 50-year-old guy, when smart, talented, rich, successful people feel disrespected, they all do one thing. They're going to prove a point. Tom Brady has an opportunity. This is the perfect moment to leave New England because they got no backup plan. They got nobody. And Buffalo is better, and Miami seems to have an identity. And now Adam Gase and Darnold look pretty good at the end of the year. Tom doesn't even need to be petty. He doesn't need to be petty. He can just say, you don't think I'm Kirk Cousins. You don't want to pay me Kirk Cousins money? You don't want to pay me Jimmy Garoppolo money? Successful people who feel disrespected, and we all watch Tom versus Time. What was your takeaway on that? He wants to be respected. Just think about this. He's the number one brand, and the Cowboys are the number one brand. Jerry's a visionary with marketing. It would be A-Rod of the Yankees times 5, LeBron of the Lakers times 4. It's the perfect time. They have no succession plan. New England would become uninteresting tomorrow. You also have Dante Scarnecchia retiring. The Patriots don't like to spend money on wide receivers. It's the one thing he's demanding. And what do the Cowboys have? O-line, running back, wide receivers. And he wouldn't. This is the one organization. If Tom goes to the Chargers, kind of feels like a step down. Tom goes to the Dolphins. Ugh, they're rebuilding. Tom goes to the Patriots? You talk about a metaphorical blank you. They are the biggest brand, the richest brand, with the best O-line, the first or second best running back, and the weapons, New England. They're not going to go out and spend big money on wide receivers. And the other thing, it wouldn't just be New England would, and Belichick would win games, but they'd just be a team. They'd be fine. They'd be Tennessee before this playoff run. 9-7. They'd be fine, but they wouldn't be special, especially when you're surrounded by Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz and all these, you know, all these Big Bens coming back. They wouldn't be talked about. I was thinking about this morning. If Brady, just from a business perspective, we know he'd go to a team with more offensive talent. That's not arguable. But Tom's a businessman. If Tom Brady tomorrow morning goes to Dallas, the Patriots are on page 4 of the NFL newspaper. Just think of the stories. First of all, Brady Dallas would be the number one story. Kansas City, are they going to repeat, is probably the second biggest story. Oakland moving to Vegas, right? The Raiders going to Vegas. You've got the Lamar Jackson. Ooh, next stage. Big Ben to Pittsburgh. Cam to Carolina. Baker Mayfield on his fourth head coach. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Tua in Miami. From a business perspective, they fall off the first and second page of the NFL story. And I'll go back to this. TJ Hushmanzada, I'll get to that in a second. But talented people who feel disrespected in my life always want to prove a point. Now, maybe Tom has the emotional discipline. He's more mature. But when I watched that documentary, it was all about, can you show me a little respect? Can you give me a tad? And I'm not saying it's going to happen. But when I was in Miami and I was talking to a lot of people, going to a lot of dinners, Joy and I went out in the town. You know, there's a lot of NFL people there. It's an NFL city for a week. There were a lot of people, not occasional people, saying Brady's unhappy and he knows there's no quick fix. And now Dante Scarnecchi is retired. Here's TJ Hushmanzada Friday on this show.
Next year, we're really going to find out because Brady won't be there. So we'll find out.
But he won't be there?
No, 0% chance.
0% chance?
0%. Where does he go? I don't know. There's too many to decipher and choose from.
You said 0% chance.
Zero.
I would go 1%.
0%.
Door closed.
Door closed.
Now, I don't feel that strongly, but Michael Irvin talked about it this week, and TJ Hushmanzada, these are former NFL guys that work out with other players and talk to other players and talk to agents and talk to executives. I mean, put Tom in that cowboy uniform. We get shocked all the time in sports. This looks like it would work. Durant to Golden State shocked us. The AB circus shocked us. Peyton Manning to Denver shocked us. Boston bailing on Mookie Betts, the first or second best player going to the Dodgers. Isn't that kind of a shock in baseball? I read all the articles. It was shocking. All I'm saying is something doesn't have to happen. But I would not say 10% chance is out of the realm of possibility. I think he'll be a Patriot. I really do. Don't kid yourself on this. He would be able to. It is the only place Tom Brady can go. The only place he'd have a richer owner, a better offense, and all his issues today, respect, O-line, receivers, would all be solved by signing a contract. All of them. Chargers would feel like a step down. Colts is a weird fit. Miami's rebuilding. Raiders off-brand. Cowboys, ask yourself, what would your reaction be today? You, not me, you. If in the middle of today's show, Tom Brady is a Cowboy, you would be like, damn.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Everything he wants, they have. Brand, O-line, backs, receivers, money, everything, they have. And if Dak's asking for $38 million, and I like Dak, and I do think they'll re-sign Dak, but don't tell me it couldn't happen. Don't tell me it couldn't happen. It absolutely could. All right, let's switch to this. 50 minutes from now, calling right, calling wrong. So Chris Haynes is a guy I trust. Chris Haynes has been covering the NBA for a long time. And he was told by a source that LeBron James is the happiest he has ever been with an ownership group and a front office. And that runs sort of counterintuitive to what the perception of the Lakers the last couple of years, which has been Magic's there, Magic's gone. Now an agent runs this. But it's very interesting with LeBron. And this is a very unique stage for LeBron. And I believe Chris Haynes and I trust him. And I think I know the reason why. So let's talk about the four stages of LeBron. There is the LeBron gets drafted out of high school to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he is the phenom in the league. It's a horrible operation. They were an unwatchable mess. They'd gone half a decade without the playoffs. They were 17-65. LeBron had total, utter leverage. Remember those days? It's kind of fun to watch those old days. Stage two, LeBron goes to Miami. Well, it's Pat Riley. No. D-Wade was aging. They were a playoff team, but a mile from being a contender, and Pat Riley wanted global relevance and domestic relevance, and LeBron gave them that. That was LeBron's team. That was not D-Wade's team, and it was not Pat Riley's team. He had leverage. Let's go back to Cleveland second time. Kyrie Irving, remember this. A lot of people thought he's kind of a bust. Dan Gilbert had flown to Miami and begged LeBron to come back. LeBron was in his prime, but at the very, very, very tail end of his prime, he had ultimate leverage. And now let's segue to the Lakers. For the first time, LeBron's not in his prime. For the first time in his career, LeBron's career is on the clock. LeBron makes a risky move to a bad roster and a team that can't get its front office straight, where the Jerry bus and Genie bus takes over and Jim bus and Genie don't get along, and who's the GM, and it's Magic, then it's not. This is not about LeBron being happier, although I'm sure he is. It's about LeBron for the first time needing a team as much as the team needs LeBron. And that's when relationships work. You never want to be in an uneven relationship. It doesn't matter if it's a marriage or a business. A great marriage, you need her, and she needs you. And this is the first time LeBron is on the clock. He's out of his prime. He's had a big injury. This is a big risky move. And the roster wasn't great, and he has to get along, and he has to make sure it works. I don't think LeBron's necessarily just happier. I think he's vulnerable. And vulnerable people often make great partners. I think this is the easiest LeBron has ever been to work with. It's a new LeBron. He's like a pitcher off shoulder surgery. Don't quite have the heater I used to. I'm going to have to work the corners a little bit. Oral Hershiser end of his career. That's what LeBron is now. He was always a good teammate. Now he's a great teammate. And he understands, first time, I need them as much as they need me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Generally with the trading deadline, we all kind of hope for the big move. But in the history of the trading deadline, it's mostly been, frankly, about fine-tuning. Good teams add a piece, get better defensively, get longer, find another wing defender. This weekend, the Clippers added Marcus Morris. It's actually a very big move because it now gives the Clippers, this is why the Lakers wanted to go after Marcus Morris, because they wanted to keep him away from the Clippers. The Clippers now have four different players they could send at LeBron. They can put Kawhi on him at times. They can put Paul George on him at times. They can throw Patrick Beverley on LeBron at times. And now they can put Marcus Morris on LeBron. Now, there is no LeBron stopper. There was never a Kobe stopper. But the Warriors showed you how to at least exhaust LeBron over the course of a series. They would throw a little Iggy at him and a little KD at him and a little Clay at him. And after a while, you get into a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth game in a series. That's, even with LeBron in his prime, that's your best bet. Well, LeBron's no longer in his prime. He can't give you 44 minutes a night. I thought this was a huge move, although it feels small. This is exactly what the trading deadline is. The Clippers went from my favorite team in the league to win it to now absolutely, absolutely a clear favorite in the West. In the East, Milwaukee went out and got Marvin Williams. Again, it's not a splashy hire. But what Milwaukee needs is another guy to drop a three. We know Giannis is great. Middleton's a two to a three. So they add Marvin Williams, who's a 3-and-D guy. And now Milwaukee, who I thought was the best team in the East, adds just a little bit more. Another shooter. They are absolutely the favorite and should be to win the East. And the Clippers, I thought, were the deepest, best team in the West, add just one more guy to throw at LeBron. And this morning, I haven't looked at the betting markets. I absolutely feel that my two favorites to get to the finals feel locked, not mortal locks. Barring an injury, there's no reason why the Clippers and the Bucks don't meet in the finals. They absolutely this morning added depth to already the deepest teams, both well coached, both have a superstar, both play real defense, both filled with young and veteran players.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, here we go. We call it on Mondays, Colin right, Colin wrong, plenty of both, and here we go.
Where Colin was right?
I think the XFL had a really good opening weekend. I think it's going to work. I think one of these football leagues, if you put it in the right place, the spring is going to work. The first week of ticket sales surpassed the entire season of the AAF ticket sales. Like Doug Gottlieb said, I think they have the right ownership. I think they have the right management in Vince McMahon. Listen, it's not the NFL, although there are a handful of NFL players in this league. I thought the television presentation was legit. I thought, you know, Menifee, and you got your Brock Huerts and your Klatz and your Menifees, and I listened to Steve Levy. These are professional broadcasters. Pat McAfee was a bunch of fun. It looks like a league that's going to last. And remember, the WNBA has lasted 20 years because they were smart enough to put it in the summer, and they got the arenas right and the ownership group right. This is going to work. We have an 9-10-week hole in our sports calendar, and these networks are all dying. They're dying for content. So even if you don't love the football, you can put that on television. I sat and watched an hour Saturday and an hour Sunday. I like the miking the coaches and miking the replay officials. I thought it was entertaining, and I think the NFL is going to steal all sorts of stuff from it.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been giving the Dodgers credit for 5 years because they're not one of these goofy teams that hands out 10-year contracts. They're going to hand out a 10-year contract for Mookie Betts, who's already in his late 20s. None of these things work. Mookie's a great player, but they gave up a top prospect, and you're not going to give up a top prospect in your farm system to borrow Mookie Betts for a year. So they're going to sign him to a massive contract because he's not going to stay unless you give him a 9-10-year deal, and he's already like 27 years old. So 2 years ago, he was the MVP. Last year, he hit, you know, like 295, 296. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but Mike Trout, the best player in baseball, was on a fourth-place team last year. I don't buy into these 10-year contracts. They don't work. They create apathy. They put way too much pressure on people. And even if you have a good contract, after about 6 years, by the end of it, you got an old guy you're paying 45 large to a year. I thought the Dodgers, they moved off Machado and Bryce Harper and Zach Greinke, and that's why they keep winning, and it's a flexible, nimble payroll. But it looks like they're all in for 9 or 10 years on Mookie.
Where Colin was right.
I said Kevin Durant without basketball is going to be a social media circus because that dude is going to get bored out of his mind because he loves basketball and he watches it. Well, he's on a podcast last week. He got into a beef with Kendrick Perkins. He admitted now his Twitter burner account. He's not giving it up. He said, here's why I left Golden State. Listen, Kevin Durant loves basketball. He is basketball. And without basketball, he's a social media circus. And the one thing about Kevin I will defend because he's a great player. He's a little thin-skinned. Let's be honest. Go to Twitter for 5 minutes. Everybody's thin-skinned. I can't say, yeah, Kevin Durant is thin-skinned. The world. Watch Twitter for 5 minutes. Our president can be thin-skinned on social media. Everybody's thin-skinned, but it has become a little bit of a circus.
Where Colin was wrong.
Philadelphia 76ers are a mess. I thought they needed to make a move at the trading deadline. They've lost 5 straight road games. They're a horrible road team. And I do think they have the most talented starting five in the East and the best starting seven in the NBA. And right now, they would open up against Miami, and the Heat would have home court advantage, and Miami would beat them. Because Miami has their issues, but they play defense, and everybody appears to get along, and Spoelstra's an excellent coach. This thing doesn't work in Philadelphia. I've said this. Embiid doesn't like Simmons. Simmons doesn't like Embiid. Brett Brown seems to work well with Simmons. Nobody works well with Embiid, who's a marvelous talent that you can get a caravan of picks and players for. But the Sixers, once again, are a mess, and I just love their talent. I think their talent is unbelievable.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I've been saying for years, New York has the worst sports ownership in North America. There's no place worse than New York, and what a weekend for New York. James Dolan cleaned house again for the Knicks, hired an agent who's supposed to be a good guy, and the Warriors did it, but Bob Myers was also, you know, a former player. Anyway, the Knicks and James Dolan cleaned house again. I just ran into David Fizdale, by the way, last week. Former Knicks coach, good dude. And oh, by the way, the Mets, need an owner because the Wilpons got housed by Bernie Madoff. They don't have any money. They had a guy, Steve Cohen, who's worth $13 billion, and they screwed that up over the weekend. So the Mets continue to be a mess. The Knicks cleaned house again. Everybody's always afraid of New York. Oh, my God, they've got all this money. Can somebody name a team outside of the Yankees that appears moderately well-owned and well-run? The Knicks and the Mets, once again, were a circus over the weekend.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we kept saying, Lakers, do not trade Kyle Kuzma. And we were right on this. I think Rob Pelinka listens to the show. I swear to God, you media people and you fans have been trying to trade Kyle Kuzma for the last 12 months. He's their third leading scorer. He's their only young athletic wing who you can trust. Can we let some of these guys bake a little? I mean, you've all bailed on Andrew Wiggins. You've all bailed on Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is the third leading scorer and the only what you would call asset as a young player. Listen, Toronto may be old, but they got young guys. Lakers don't have any. It's flaky guys like Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, old guys like LeBron, Danny Green, Anthony Davis, who can be brittle. The Lakers smartly held on to Kuzma, as we told them to do.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't even understand the Toronto Raptors. They've won 15 straight games. I have no idea how. Fred VanVleet, I honestly, is there a team? I'll tell you what it is. Is Nick Nurse the most underrated coach in any American professional sports league? And I'm talking everything, and I don't follow hockey. All I know about Nick Nurse, he won everywhere he was in minor league basketball. He won the title last year. Listen, Pascal Siakam's a nice player, but it's a lot of old guys. It's Kyle Lowry. It's Fred VanVleet. I like Fred VanVleet. Should he be scoring 17, 18 a night? 15-game winning streak right now. And by the way, they're long, they're deep, they're well-coached, they play hard. It's hard to get a championship team to play hard every night. Toronto does. Just say that out loud. 15-game winning streak in the NBA. That's like Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. That's an absurd. Shaq, Kobe, did they ever have a 15-game regular season winning streak in the regular season? That is a, folks, that's a month and a half. They haven't lost a basketball game.
Where Colin was right.
Houston Rockets, Westbrook and Harden are talented. Nobody disputes it. But now last week they had to trade Clint Capella because Westbrook can't shoot. And you can't get rid of Westbrook's contract. And he does sell tickets, and he is fascinating. And he does have nights like last night where he is amazing. But the Houston Rockets, to me, are a very interesting lab experiment. They're now currently the shortest team in the NBA. I don't trust them situationally at the end of games. I know Harden and Westbrook are friends. I get it. And that certainly isn't a bad thing. But it doesn't solve a truth about Westbrook. He's a bad three-point shooter. And you couldn't have two bad three-point shooters on the floor, so you had to bail on Capella, who's a great rim protector, gave you a ton of easy baskets, and the Rockets now are a game out of seventh place in the West. I never bought this thing, and right now they may win a series. They got no chance to beat the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, or Denver. No shot.
Where Colin was right.
Andrew Wiggins' debut. Do environments matter? He's going to work. Andrew Wiggins walked into Golden State, had a great opening night, 8 for 12, 3 of 4 on threes, 24 points. He is a graceful, thoughtful, dynamic, athletic wing who is not built, his personality is not built to be a domineering alpha. But I get him at 24 years old. Time out. Michael Jordan was a selfish ball hog at 24. At 26, Phil Jackson said, "What do you want to be? A scorer or a winner?" Can we give this kid a year to potentially work in Golden State? This is a very well-run organization. He's going to fit nicely. And again, this is not a team that's going to win this year. Next year, he's going to give you 23 a night with a high IQ, incredibly functional organization. And if the first game is any indication, he's going to be fine.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, I told you Parasite was the best movie I saw all year. I watched it on a flight. And when you can watch a movie on a flight and it's great, they won Best Picture last night. It is one of the, I'm not gonna give away what it is, but I'm not sure I've ever watched a movie in my life that was one thing for an hour and then another thing for the next hour. It makes a drastic turn halfway through. It is fascinating.
They won everything last night.
Listen, all I know is this. When you are done watching a movie and you don't know how to feel, you're like, it was funny, and then it was frightening, and then it was sad, and then it was poignant. It was all of those things for 2 hours. I strongly suggest you go watch Parasite. Now, again, you're going to have to read the movie, but you get used to that after about 5 minutes. It's one of those with subtitles.
I'm definitely going to see it.
I think it's fantastic. I went for a long walk yesterday with a buddy of mine who is a writer in Los Angeles, and he was back in town. He'd left for a while, and we were just talking about movies and Hollywood, and I'm like, I don't know. Irishman, Chris Rock had a great joke about Irishman. He goes, I'd like to congratulate. The first season of Irishman was great. My wife didn't like Irishman. I did. It's very, very long, but I like Scorsese and De Niro, Pacino. It kind of puts to bed all the mobster movies by Scorsese.
Right.
They were all in nursing homes by the end of it. Dead or in nursing homes. But I thought Parasite was remarkable stuff. Remarkable movies.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
When it comes to the Patriots, Tom Kern, I used to live out in Connecticut. And when I was out there, the guy that I really depended on for Patriot News was Tom Curran. 23 years covering this franchise. If he says it, it's true. He's got contact. You cover a beat for 23 years, you got contacts in the building. He's joining us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Cover the Patriots since 97. By the way, he's got go to his Twitter account, at Tom E. Curran. All right, Tommy. Tommy, I feel like I'm talking to Brady. There are reports out there. Refute it or tell me I'm nuts. What are you hearing? The report is, it came out last week, not from you, that Tom wants something north of 30, and the Patriots have agreed to pay him north of 30. That was the report. How does that land for you? What do you know about that?
That's premature, Colin. The Patriots right now and Tom Brady haven't even begun negotiations, much less started talking about money. So this became a source of irritation in the days following the Super Bowl because it already sets an expectation for the Patriots and really for fans in New England of what the Patriots are willing to do. And I think what's important about this is it's not really the number 30, because not only from the Patriots side does it set a false expectation of what the Patriots are about to do, from the Brady side, it sets a notion that the Patriots are needing to please him financially, and that's not what it's all about, man.
So let's move to that. What is it about for Tom? He's got a net worth of $500 million. He's got a trophy wall. What is this really about, Tom?
It's about this, very simply, Colin. He wants to get to the line, be under center or in shotgun in 2020, and look across at the defense and say, you know what? I got an app for that. I got a guy here. I got a guy there. I know we can execute on this play that's going to work. And he hasn't really felt that way the last 2 years, especially in 2019. In 2018, it was a hard road to figure out exactly how they were going to move the football successfully. So it hasn't been a lot of fun offensively. So it's not about the money. It's about the opportunity to enjoy the football, to enjoy the offensive side of things, to not have to throw it away six times a game or run for his life or not know exactly where his receivers are going to be. So that is the surrounding cast is as important or more important than the money.
I had somebody inside the Patriot building tell me at the Super Bowl that N'Keal Harry's a nice player, but he's not special. He can't separate. He's not changing anything for Tom. But they like him, but there are good catch radius, but there are limitations. Tom wants somebody, A, B, that can separate, that can change the game, that can make it easier. This is the knock I've always had, and I've defended Tom on this, is that Tom takes these pay cuts, and then he looks around and goes, well, where the hell's all the talent? Where are the players? Look at Kansas City. Look at Baltimore. Look at Dallas. Is that a bone of contention for Brady?
1,000,000,000%. That's why when Tom Brady talks about not taking a hometown discount, that's why people say, well, suddenly it's about the money and it hasn't been in the past. No, he's not taking a hometown discount to have a repeat of things that have happened in the past. For instance, he was supposed to be paid $15 million in 2018. The Patriots gave him five $1 million incentives that if he hit them all, he'd make 20. That's still low, but the incentives were so exaggeratedly high And the Patriots had seen such an outflow at the receiver position from 17, that they weren't able to hit those. So Brady's like, look, I'm not going to come back for less. I made 23 last year. You think I'm going to come back for 20 with you guys saying, we promise, we're going to do something special for you, wide receiver. And the hard thing about it, Colin, and I wrote about this last week, the timing is so difficult. The Patriots have to thread a needle somehow because the beginning of free agency in the tampering period, March 16th, they can't sign anybody, so they can't prove it to Brady that they're going to bring a bunch of guys in. And additionally, those guys who the Patriots might bring in, are they going to want to sign with the Patriots if they're not sure Tom Brady's staying?
Yes, I think you nailed it. Threading the needle on this. We talked about this last week. Tom, when I listen and read your stuff, you're never hyperbolic, ever. But it does sound like that what Tommy wants, they don't have. It does sound like he would leave.
The only thing they have is continuity, comfort, and the ability to know that my guy on the sideline over there and my offensive coordinator on the sideline over there are better than your guys. And I'm comfortable here, and I love the defensive players, and I love the culture, and I love the priorities here. But other than that, it's going to be hard to convince him to run it back one more time after what it looked like in 2019.
Finally, Tom Curran, covering the Patriots for over 20 years. I can make the argument that Indianapolis, between the GM, the coach, the O-line, and the tight ends, really works. But I'm going to let you take this one. If I said to you, all right, Tom, you think he could leave, is there a landing spot that makes sense in your opinion?
You mentioned one. I'll mention another one that's right there with it as 1B, Tampa Bay. You go down there, you have Mike Evans, you have Chris Godwin, you have $90 million in cap space. You have, if the ability to get Antonio Brown reinstated comes to pass, and again, that is not anything anyone would count on, you have the opportunity to have him added. That, I think, you have Jason Light in the front office, a former Patriots executive. Indianapolis is a great point. And look, all of these teams, they could change on a dime, the ones with a lot of cap space. Miami, for instance, $90 million in cap space. Good players on offense. You can change that quick if you can get the right guys.
Good stuff, Tom Curran. Follow him on Twitter, Tommy Curran. Also podcast. He has a Patriots Talk. It drops Tuesday and Thursday. We'll stay on this stuff. Always a bottom line common sense opinion on New England. Tom, thanks again.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. That's journalism right there. That's journalism.
That's another team just being thrown out there.
Tampa Bay. First of all, there are so many Patriot employees in front offices. I forgot Jason Light. I'm like, of course, he's a Patriot. Tennessee's got Patriots. Atlanta's got Patriots. San Francisco, the whole league's got New England guys.
I mean, did you see him in Tampa Bay? We did the jerseys.
I got to tell you, you and I, we were talking about this morning in the makeup room. You, of course, don't need it. I have a cement truck lowered in. they've put it on with a hose for me. The thing about Tampa, Mike Evans is so perfect for Tom. You just throw that ball up. By the way, when did Tom have his most success? Moss. I'm going to throw it up because Tom can read the defense. Tom's whole thing, it didn't have a huge arm. Mike Evans is the best player in the league that nobody watches. He's uncoverable. But again, in that division, we watched Cams and the Saints and the Falcons. Mike Evans and Tom Brady is Tom's back in the 45 touchdown range. And I'm not joking.
But is he in the Super Bowl range?
I don't know. But I'm telling you, Mike Evans and Tom Brady would immediately be wildly productive. It wouldn't be Moss Brady, but it would look a little bit like it at times.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, the XFL debuted this weekend. I thought they did really, really well. A lot of times I watch people judge new businesses, and people that have never run a business or been part of a new business don't understand. It's not linear. Good God, Major League Baseball has been around for 100 years. They have an activity issue because of analytics. The NBA's got a ratings issue and a stylistic problem. All they do is shoot threes. It is hard-running leagues. Leagues can be, the NFL 2 years ago had a catch rule problem that was literally the talk of the nation. It is hard to run a league. It's hard to be president. It's hard to run a company, and it's not linear. But I did think for a first weekend, the XFL hit it out of the park. Joy and I talked about this morning. It looked like a professional league. The camera angles, the microphones, the transparency, the kickoff rules. No, you don't have Russell Wilson. No, you don't have Devontae Adams. No, you don't have superstar Stephon Gilmore at corner. But you got a bunch of guys who love football. It's smartly run. It's on the biggest two domestic sports networks in America, Fox and ESPN, plus ABC and FS1. It's going to work. We have a massive hole in the calendar. Everything they can control the XFL, they did. It was fun. It looked legitimate. The microphones worked. There was a lot of great conversation. It was quirky and had cool new rules. Here's the things they can't control. Attendance. That's up to you, the consumer. Acceptance by the media. That's up to individual media members. Quarterback quality. Well, who's out there? There are some things they'll never be able to control. Your love for it, my acceptance of it, the quality of quarterbacks that college football or the NFL gives them. But everything they could have controlled was really, really good. The quality of the broadcasts were excellent, both on ABC and Fox. The camera angles, the quirkiness, the rules. I think the NFL is going to borrow that kickoff rule eventually. I liked it. You're not going to have the superstar players on the perimeter. There's no Odell Beckham in this league. But I was saying this with the WNBA earlier. They're two decades strong. They have made some changes. They don't play in NBA arenas like they used to. Many of the NBA owners have sold their shares, but the WNBA is still working. It's still working. It's not the NBA. It's not built to be the NBA, and this is not built to be the NFL. Overall, though, I thought they had a great weekend. I watched an hour Saturday and an hour Sunday.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I think it's in the perfect spot.
We got, you and I work in a business. We got a 10-week hole.
Well, I say it all the time. Sports and politics are the last live thing. They're the last thing you have to watch live. Everything else is streams. You can record it, watch it later, shows. You don't need to be in front of your television. So it's at a premium right now. It looks great. Everyone did an amazing job. It's a long play, and I happen to love like minor league baseball, and I think they're great. It's a great family environment.
Yep.
Fun to go to.
By the way, tickets are one quarter what they would in the NFL. It's inclusive financially.
You know how expensive it is to take an entire family to a sporting event?
I tell you, listen, I went to an NBA game in Utah. I got free tickets, but I saw what the tickets cost.
Yes.
It's not.